This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 11th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. In Zimbabwe, rising deaths from cholera have once again raised the alarm about the devastation wreaked by the Mugabe regime. But what stands as the greatest threat to Robert Mugabe's power? Marion Tupi, a policy analyst at the Cato Institute, offers his thoughts.
There's always been criticism of Robert Mugabe emanating from Western countries, Britain, the United States, and so on. Certainly ever since he embarked on his disastrous policy of expropriating the commercial farmers that has led to the country's economic collapse. But we are finally seeing a critical comments, critical attitudes emanating from Africa as well. It is regrettable that for almost a decade, most African countries simply did not criticize Mugabe, and that has begun to change in recent years. But certainly, since the outbreak of cholera, which killed by now approximately 600 people and infected another 16,000, the African voices for the end of Mugabe's rule have certainly become louder.
In all the criticism that we're seeing, Kofi Annan says that Mugabe has failed to bring his country out of this crisis. There's so little focus on all of the specific actions that he took to plunge his country into the crisis that it's in.
Obviously, Kofi Annan and the group of elders, as they are known, have been instrumental to putting Zimbabwe back in the news, because I think that there was a bit of a fatigue with regard to Zimbabwe stories in the last few months. He and Kofi Annan and Graca Machel, they really brought the world's attention back to the humanitarian crisis, which is destroying Zimbabwe. You are absolutely right that this hopefully final chapter in Mugabe's rule was preceded for almost a decade by an ever-increasing strangulation of the economy and of the political sphere in Zimbabwe. And basically what we have been seeing is that as Mugabe became increasingly economically and politically repressive, the economy deteriorated further. And with it, of course, living standards have completely collapsed. Longevity has collapsed. The violence and disease are spreading. And for the first time, we are seeing cracks in the Zimbabwean ruling regime. We had the army on rampage in Harare last week. And what that seems to be suggesting, that we are finally, after almost a decade, seeing at least what I would call beginning of the end of the Mugabe rule. I really think that they cannot maintain power for much longer. They've simply run out of money. They've run out of places to hide. They are facing insurmountable challenges in order to keep in power.
Haven't we sort of been here before with Robert Mugabe and with the elections most recently, and some criticism coming from Desmond Tutu, from Nelson Mandela, and others? You know, have we sort of been here before?
Oh, it certainly seems like a Groundhog Day, doesn't it, when it comes to Zimbabwe? But I think that we are seeing certain new elements entering the fray. Firstly, the Zimbabwean state was robust enough to be able to make enough money through looting of the economy in order to pay off the important power elements in Zimbabwe to keep Mugabe in power. Essentially, you have a tyrannous kleptocracy where the ruling party, Mugabe at its head, was expropriating an ever-increasing part of the economy, and they were getting funds from the sale of the sale of gold and platinum and diamonds and so on, but those companies, those corporations that operated in Zimbabwe and provided the government with whatever limited resources it had, have now finally closed as well. In other words, the economic activity and the ability of government to plunder the economy has really shrunk to a point where they have very little money left. And very importantly, the Chinese government, which supported the Mugabe regime with loans and with necessary foreign exchange, seem to have pulled the rug from underneath Mugabe. They have realized that he's a no-hoper, that he's not going to really change his ways, that change is unavoidable. And once the Chinese realize that change will be coming, they, I think, have decided to start to make peace with the opposition rather than propping up a dying regime. That combined with the cracks in the regime that I've explained give me some grounds for optimism. This is certainly the first time that we have seen the army rioting. The rank and file of the army are, like the rest of the population, undernourished. They go unpaid. They are tyrannized by their superiors. And so Mugabe has fewer and fewer options left. There are some of the news coming out of Zimbabwe seems to suggest that the soldiers have been effectively disarmed, that they no longer have access to ammunition and rifles because Mugabe simply doesn't trust them. He seems to be able for now to count on the support of the police. But again, as the situation deteriorates further, there will be fewer and fewer people willing to sacrifice their lives for Mugabe. After all, these policemen and army personnel have families who are dying of cholera and who are starving. So all of those factors, I would say, give grounds for optimism that he doesn't have a long way to go. And of course, once he's gone, then the real job begins of reconstructing the Zimbabwean economy. And hopefully the new people in charge will have an appreciation for the need of political as well as economic liberalism.
Jimmy Carter has suggested an office of prime minister, that there is no way to set up that office currently within Zimbabwe. Is that a reasonable option?
The office of the prime minister was supposed to be created as a result of a compromise between the winners of the elections, the Movement for Democratic Change, and the losers, ZANU-PF, which is Mugabe's party. Mugabe basically refused to leave power and got himself sworn as president for sixth term. And essentially, there was some hope that he may give up parts of the government, some of the ministries, to the opposition, so that they could work together at least for a limited amount of time in order to bring about fresh elections and hopefully start doing something about the deteriorating economic situation. That has really collapsed because the MDC, the opposition movement, quite wisely, in my view, demanded that at the very least they should have under their control the Home Affairs Ministry, which really is equivalent to being in charge of, you know, in the United States, the FBI and the police force and so on. That was very important because one thing that the opposition doesn't want is to have all the responsibility for fixing the economy without having the power to do anything about it, and also without knowing whether Mugabe simply 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 years from now simply turns around and starts murdering the members of the opposition again. So they had a very clear and, in my view, completely justifiable demand that they should have the police force under their protection. After all, it was the police force that has been harassing them for a decade. Mugabe refused that. To him, power sharing means that Tsvangirai is out there getting foreign aid and getting getting donors to come and replenish the coffers of the state without really having his hands on the levers of power, which Mugabe wants to keep for himself. So this power-sharing agreement seems to be dead. And what the world is waiting for is some sort of a spark that would set off either an internal rebellion or alternatively an African intervention in Zimbabwe.
Marian Tupi is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.